Ryan. I'm filling in for Pastor Matt. So we're going to be in John chapter 1. The title of today's message is Light and Presence. So here I am getting ready for camp, and I'm rushing around. I don't know if you've ever seen me on a Sunday morning or any other time when I'm getting ready. I kind of go a little fast, and so I was going so fast with all this stuff in my hands, and I was going down into the Smythe Center, and I was cutting through what we call the game room of the youth room, and there is a light in there that either is like an automatic light, and it didn't automatically come on when I came into the room because someone had turned off the button, and I thought, you know, I'm just gonna risk it. I'm feeling comfortable with, I know what this room's like. The thing I did not account for were teenagers move furniture. And so with all the pens and stuff that I had stacked up that I needed to carry down, someone had put an ottoman right there that was black, and I hit it at full force, went over the top of it, I completely cleared it, rolled, tumbled, everything all over the Smythe Center, cursing whatever youth grouper I thought that had moved that furniture in my way. I was comfortable with the darkness. I thought I knew what I could do in the darkness and get away with it and be okay. It's true spiritually for us too, isn't it? Where we feel comfortable in the darkness, or maybe the light is uncomfortable, or maybe we don't think the light is what we need in the situation, whether it's sin, whether it's a trial, whatever we're going through, we just walk in the darkness and there's consequences for that. See, we need to find the light switch, don't we, this morning? We need our steps illuminated. We need our spirits illuminated. There's many that are going to come this first service and come second service. There's going to be a weight, whether it's a weight of sin, a weight of life changing, and we need the light. And where do we find that word, light? We find it in God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's how. God's word. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. But it's interesting. Many of us have a discipline of reading our Bibles every single morning, coming to church on a Sunday morning, but our lives don't seem illuminated. Because we come before Scripture, not with the eyes of faith, and not with asking the Spirit to enable us. In John 14, 26, he said, of the Spirit, this is Jesus speaking of the Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. If you are going before God's word and you're saying, God, you promised that this would be a light to my path, but I'm not seeing it. I still feel like I'm in the dark. I feel kind of lost still, even though I heard the message. I read your word. Did you ask the Spirit to enable, the Spirit to empower? See, one of the things that I think is very important for a preacher, and I talk about this almost every time that I teach, but I think it's really, really important, is I'm assuming, you assumed, that I prayed to be filled with the Spirit when I spoke this morning, right? I mean, you don't want a person who's doing it in their own strength. So I did pray, say, Spirit, will you fill me and empower me to preach your word? But it's true also for the hearer. There's for both of us that we are responsible as those who are hearing God's word to invite the Spirit in, to enable our minds to receive what he has for us this morning. So before we read God's word, I want to take a moment and pray. And I want to encourage you yourself to say, Spirit, will you enable me to understand your word this morning and empower me to walk out the things that you have called me to walk out? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Lord, we thank you that you give good things to us and that you are so good to give us your Son, and to send the Comforter into the world to fill your church. And Lord, I pray for myself that I be filled with your Spirit as I bring forth your word. I pray that you would protect me from speaking things that are not of you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, that you would empower them to understand your word and apply your word to their lives. Lord, I pray that you would get all of the glory this morning. I pray that as my brothers and sisters go home today, they wouldn't say, wasn't that such a great message or a great worship or a great church? That they would go home saying, what a great God. That what my brothers and sisters would go home with today would be you, Jesus. A deeper love for you. A deeper understanding of who you are. Jesus, may you be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John chapter 1, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, and he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. If you find yourself this morning in darkness, I just have a very, very simple message. Jesus is the light. If your days have felt cold, lonely, lost, you just need to draw near to Jesus. He's like the sun that we can warm ourselves in the fires of his presence. Jesus is the light that brings life. Jesus is the light that brings illumination. I love this verse. Psalm 36, 9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Wow. Just life bursting forth from his light. That is who he is. He is a God that gives life. In him, all of life consists. There is no life apart from him. But not only that, he is the light that illuminates everything that we see. C.S. Lewis said this, "I believe in Christianity as I believe and that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." The sun brings understanding to all we attempt to lay our eyes upon. Maybe you struggle to understand his word. One of the most incredible things that happened to me was when I came to Solid Rock in 2020. And I started learning this thing called the gospel-centered lens, or the Jesus-centered lens of reading scripture. At times I saw it, but not every time. And I was very faithful to preach the text, read the text. But once I understood that Jesus was the interpretive key to unlock all of scripture became beautiful. Suddenly all of scripture could be understood. If you're struggling to understand his word, do you have the light of the sun illuminating your reading? Do you feel lost in your faith? Like, I can't push on one more day. As Hebrews says, look to the author and finisher of your faith. Do you feel alone? Remember what Jesus said, that though you may have troubles in this world, I am with you. Have you even maybe lost your love for life? Life doesn't seem as beautiful. Purpose doesn't seem as clear. When we glorify Jesus, everything becomes more beautiful. By the Son, we comprehend and delight in his word. So first of all, the Son, he gives greater clarity to all of Scripture. Like I said, he is the interpretive lens of Scripture. I came from this little town, Borrego Springs. It was an hour and a half each way to any hospital. And so when you would get in a car accident or something would happen, you would have to tell which hospitals you don't want to go to. You would go to three different counties depending on where they took you. And there was two hospitals that you did not want to go to. And the reason that I came to this conclusion is there was a lady in our church that was having a procedure where open surgery. And as she was having surgery, they stopped the surgery because they didn't have an adequate amount of light, right? They couldn't see properly to do the operation. I said, well, that's just like basics, right? We have to have enough light in the OR to be able to operate, right? When you have the light, the better you're able to understand. You know, there's been many a times where I've gotten a sliver in my hand or had something kind of happen where I'm like, sweetie, can you get this out? You know, can you pull out this sliver? And she gets her cell phone and she turns on the light, right? The light brings greater clarity, right? The light brings greater clarity. But the Son also brings greater beauty to all of Scripture. Jesus Christ is the glory of the grand narrative of Scripture. Kind of an amazing thought, and I'm no scientist, so I'm sure after the service people are going to be like, oh, there's more to this, or you got this wrong. But this is off the internet, what I'm about to read, and so this is taking someone else's word for it. But an interesting thought is there are no colors without light. There is no such thing as color without light. Color would not be possible without light. In fact, color is light, either viewed directly from a light source or reflected from the objects we see. What humans perceive as visible light occupies a tiny portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. Below visible light is infrared, microwave and radio and TV, and electric power. Above it is ultraviolet, X-rays, and gamma rays. The frequency of the radiation determines the color of the light. The lowest visible frequency is called red. The highest is violet. White light is an even distribution of all visible frequencies. Rainbows and prisms divide white light into the colors of the spectrum. What we call black is simply the absence of light. A white light surface reflects all light frequencies equally. A black surface reflects no light. Colored surfaces reflect some frequencies and absorb others. So, not only does light bring clarity, it brings color. Light illuminates beauty. I mean, I feel like I could really preach on this. Like, this is a really good illustration. But I'm not going to go too far into it. But God has created us physically different ways, and we literally reflect physical light in different shades of hair color and skin. You know, different objects in this room, our clothes that we chose, the colors are reflecting lights in different ways. Think about that. We are a reflection. We are made in the image of God, a reflection of him. And each one of us reflects him differently, right? Some of us are better at reflecting certain frequencies of who God is in greater ways. But this is who he is. He's light. He brings beauty to all that we see. We couldn't comprehend what is beautiful without him. J.C. Ryle said this, Christ is to the souls of men what the sun is, Christ is to the soul of men to what the sun is to the world. He is the center and source of all spiritual light, warmth, life, health, growth, beauty, and fertility. Like the sun, he shines for the common benefit of all mankind, for high and for low, for rich and for poor, for Jew and for Greek. Like the sun, he is free to all. All may look at him and drink health out of his light. If millions of mankind were mad enough to dwell in caves underground or to bandage their eyes, their darkness would be their own fault and not the fault of the sun. So likewise, if millions of men and women love spiritual darkness rather than light, the blame must be laid on their blind hearts and not on Christ. Their foolish hearts are darkened. But whether men will not see, Christ is the true sun and the light of the world. There is no light for sinners except the Lord Jesus. So today my prayer for you is that you will see the sun. My first point is, where God is, there is light. Let's look at verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So John does something really powerful in this text. He draws our attention. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And for many of you, it probably made you think of another passage. What did it make you think of? Genesis, right? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. John is reminding us of the nature of Christ. John 1:14 tells us that this Word is Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning, and everything that was made through him. We're going to keep in mind that the work of creation is a triune work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God, and he made all things. Genesis 1:3-4 says this, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God said, Jesus said, let there be light. God starts with light. The first words spoken that are recorded by God are, let there be light. Now, Pastor Matt showed me this a while ago, and I just keep going back to this interpretive lens that just blows my mind. And he does a better job at explaining it, so you can talk to him more about it. But Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22 are mere images of themselves. Like, just go and record details, right? The rivers, the light, God dwelling with his people, God dwelling with his people, the garden, all these different aspects that reflect each other. And we get to Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, and it says, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So why is there no need for a lamp or sun? Because God is present. God is present. It's the very light of God that will illuminate all of heaven and earth. As 1 John 1:5 says, in him there's no darkness at all. And 1 Timothy 6:16, that he dwells in unapproachable light. You cannot separate light from the presence of God. Where he is, there is light. He illuminates all of heaven and earth. I think it's so cool that the first thing he creates is light. That does what? That allows the creatures that he's going to create with their eyes to perceive beauty and to see with clarity. That's where he starts. Understanding and glorification that he enables by bringing light. And then we get to Revelation. And then it says there's no need of the sun or moon. Why? Because he is there. Because he is the beauty and the illumination of all of heaven and earth. Now, this is a very powerful thought when we think of it physically. But when we think of it spiritually, it goes much deeper, doesn't it? This theme of presence and light is woven throughout Scripture. In the book of Matthew, Matthew quotes the messianic prophecy of Isaiah Chapter 9, Matthew 4:16, it says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. When I first wanted to teach this message, we were talking as a staff about the Advent season. And I had told Pastor Matt, I really want to teach this message on looking at a biblical theology of light and how God reveals himself in this way. And in him, there is no darkness. And I was like, I think it would be a really good Christmas message. I think it fits really well. And Pastor David, 2 years ago, taught a wonderful message in the same theme. And I just wanted to continue that thought. And it just happened that in the Lord's will that it was going to be today. But I think it's really powerful that when Matthew is quoting Isaiah chapter 9, it's a reference to this prophecy that specifically is speaking to the incarnation of Christ. Remember Isaiah 9:6? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Jesus, the light of men comes to earth. He illuminates all of Scripture, right? We have all these signposts in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. And then he shows up, and John 1 says, and the light of men, right? He's there. Illuminating all that they were looking forward to. One of my favorite stories, one of my favorite sections of scripture to preach on is in John 8. This is one of the famous I am statements of the Gospel of John. And when he makes this incredibly bold claim, he was in the temple courts. Now, we have on our website Pastor Matt's teaching on John 8, and he goes a lot into the the textual criticism of this passage, because I don't know if you know this or not, but John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, they don't know where exactly it fits in which part of the book. They believe, you know, it's part of John, but they don't know where it fits, okay, based upon some manuscripts. But I think it's kind of cool where it's placed right now, because the story of John 1 through 11, John 8:1 is the story of the woman caught in adultery. Remember that story? And Jesus says, you know, he writes in the sand, the accusers go away, and he says, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more, right? Whether that is supposed to be there or not, the context is clear that Jesus, at this time when he makes this statement, is in the temple courts in Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. If you don't know what this feast was, it was looking back to where when God dwelt amongst them and they dwelt in tents in the wilderness, and you had the pillar of fire by night and how God guided them. Now, from Jewish commentaries, one of the things that we learn is in the court of the women, there were these 50-foot candelabras, four of them, that they would light during this festival. And there are some Jewish texts that even said that women would weave baskets at night by the light of these candelabras. Now, I've heard some commentators say that it was either on the last day or maybe it's during the feast. Either way, Jesus is alluding to something because there's this feast of lights, right, where they're celebrating the light among them, but they don't recognize the light that is actually among them, right? The light that is present, the light that illuminates everything. And he says in John 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's who he is. He says, I am the light. You're looking to these religious expressions, but those religious expressions point to me. Okay, I get really excited and I feel it in my bones. And I know you guys don't get to marinate like I do, okay? So you're not as tender yet, but you'll get there in a couple days, okay? Just marinate on it a while. How incredible is this? Year after year after year after year after generation, we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, not knowing, or maybe some did, they were looking to the Messiah, the light of the world that was going to come. It's that day, right? They're celebrating, they're worshiping, but he's there. He's present. Spiritually in darkness. their eyes blinded, but not seeing that he is the light of the world. I didn't have this application in my notes, but it's coming to me right now. It's very easy to be in a church expression, to have a religious expression, but miss Jesus. To not have your eyes opened to the light of why we're actually here. To miss his presence. He also said in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Why did he have to come into the world? So that you may not remain in darkness. These passages make the point clear, where God is, there is light. But before we move on to our next point, I want to remind us of what kind of light. Look at verses 4 through 5 again, John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has never and will never overcome the light. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. It's a weird experience when you open your closet door and then you're like, where did the light go? Because all the darkness came out and overcame the light that was in the room you're in, right? You've had that happen before. This is how I teach the preschoolers. I say something false, and then you realize, oh, I got to pay attention to correct him. So anyway, no, you don't open a door and the darkness comes out, right? The light goes in. The light penetrates the darkness. I had somewhat of a privilege to go spelunking in Virginia, not by my choice, was forced upon me in Bible college. That's another story. But as I'm a mile under the ground, he's like, now, turn off your lights. And I'm like, okay. So he turns off our lights and I can't see my hands. I'm like, where's my hands? Because it's so dark. And he lights a match and it was like the most blinding light I had ever seen, right? Because light is so much more powerful than darkness. Light always overcomes the darkness. Maybe some of your translations say comprehends for that word, overcome. The darkness cannot take a hold of the light. Those in spiritual darkness cannot take hold of Christ. And vice versa, those who take hold of Christ cannot walk in darkness. When you have the light, you see the beauty. Where God is, when he's present with you, when he's in your reading, when he's in your thoughts, when he's in your life, it changes everything. You know, I love road trips. We have any people that love road trips? They're so wonderful. They're so cool. But have you ever had that experience where you just had a little bit of a late start on the day? And you're going to be going through some, like, historic area. Like, I remember my first time driving the California 1. I was in high school. Well, I wasn't driving. My youth pastor was driving. But I'm in this bus. And if you know the California 1, it's probably some of the best highways in all of America, right? And you're like overlooking the ocean there, and it was nighttime, right? And you can just see like little waves, like barely, right? And you're just like, oh, and you're straining to see it, you know? Where you're like, I wish I would have left a little earlier so I could actually experience this. But you miss it. Like, for example, you know what, it's fine. I can confess things. I'm not a huge fan of New Mexico. We can talk about it later. My first time going to New Mexico, I came to Prescott. Love Prescott. I was like, wow, this is way better than I expected. And when I got here, I was like, wow, so beautiful. I left Prescott, and I had lunch with Pastor Matt, and we went through New Mexico, and it started getting dark, and I drove in the dark all the way to Albuquerque. I woke up in the morning, and I'm like, what is this place? And then I continue to drive, and I go, why did we keep this state? I mean, like, I don't understand. Anyway, I'm sorry. But, so we just went to Missouri just a couple in November, and that whole section between Prescott and Albuquerque, that is really beautiful. Little did I know, and this whole time I'm just dumping, just talking trash about our neighbor, and then I get to go through that whole part of the western part of New Mexico, and I'm like, wow, this is really pretty. Little did I know, it's amazing what the light can do on our perspective of what is beautiful. And how it can bring clarity. When you have Christ, it changes everything. Having Jesus changes everything. Verse 6. We are witnesses to his light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. Wow. Just think about how significant that is. God sent a man. A man. Why? He sent a prophet. God chooses to use a man to testify about the light. That's significant. That's powerful. But we cannot confuse this witness with the light. God chooses to use his people to be light bearers. I want to kind of walk through some Old Testament examples of this. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. When the children of Israel traveled with God, there was this pillar of fire. Surrounding nations would see this light. Have you ever gone to like Las Vegas in the evening or driven through there? You can see the glow over the hill. You could imagine, right? An ancient desert as this pillar of fire, how it illuminates. Through the physical manifestation of fire and the illuminating law of God, the world saw the glory of God. Through the people of God, he dwelt among the people of God, and this light was made known to all the world. Oh, man. Exodus is incredible, but at the very end of Exodus, you know, you read all those long passages about the, you know, make sure it's this long and, you know, make sure it's this kind of gold, and you're like, okay. And you get to chapter 40, they put all the hard work into this house of God. In verse 38, it says, for the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This rushing glory comes upon the tabernacle. And it's like, what did they know in that moment? God is with us. It illuminated their understanding of who God was, his power, his character, right? I was teaching 2 weeks ago in children's ministry, and this is from our children's ministry curriculum, that I got this connection, and I thought this was so cool. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did we see in Exodus? The presence of the Lord dwelling with his people. Pillar of fire, a great light to all people of God. God was revealed to his people and through his people to observing nations. Okay, I really like this stuff. In the book of Acts, right? God's presence comes upon his church, his people, the disciples. The presence of God is manifested in tongues, little pillars of fire upon their heads. And then God is preached. Jesus is preached to all the nations. Remember, they start speaking in tongues in different languages. And from there, the Great Commission began, right? On the day of Pentecost. God chooses to use his church, just as he chose to use Israel, to be a light to all the nations. Another cool example is Exodus chapter 25, verse 37. It says, you shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamp shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. We're talking about the lampstand that sat in the tabernacle, right? And on this lamp were seven lamps, okay? Seven oil lamps that would illuminate the inside of the tabernacle. When we look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, it says, as for the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven what? Churches. They represent the presence of God in the world, in the church. Revelation 2:5 says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." What is he saying? I will remove my representation, right? That lampstand, the presence of God, the fact that the Lord dwelt in the tabernacle. He now dwells in the church. That is a big deal. But in his letter to the Ephesians, in Revelation, when he's speaking to the Ephesians, he says, don't forget your first love. This is what we're called to be a light to the world, to not hide it. As we see in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Or 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from whom for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is who you are called to be. Tabernacles. This is incredible. Incredible. Blows my mind. God, he tabernacles. He dwells amongst his people in the pillar of fire. That's a big deal, to dwell where his people dwell. Right? Then, in John 1, verse 14, it says that the word came and dwelt among us. That word is tabernacle. Jesus comes then, himself, and dwells among us. Then, amazing, incredible, good news. Don't know if you know this. Important that you know this. Then he dwells in his church. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill. We are not the light, right? As it spoke of John. But we are witnesses to his light. Witnesses of his light. Here's something that's important. We sometimes really get the clarity part of the light. Like the Ephesians, we know the doctrine. We know the practices, but we sometimes miss the beauty, right? We forget our first love. When people see you having Jesus, do you comprehend the beauty of his light? Are you guys tracking? Are you tracking with that? That we often can be right, but we are not enveloped in the goodness of who God is. That the enthusiasm and the joy, the hope, when you have the light of God, it brings clarity, it brings beauty. All right, let's get to our last point. Do you have the light? John 1, 9. So verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus came into the world to provide a way for us to be in the light. But not all walk in the light. Some walk in darkness. Some choose darkness. Now, as I was putting my notes together, I was thinking, how do I not confuse two different things here? Because there are those who have received the light that are sons in him, but at times we can still practice works of darkness even though we're in him, right? Right? We can walk as though we are in darkness even though we are in the light. Then there are others, as it's saying in John 1, those who've never received him. They are not his children. They are completely lost. They are condemned. But the reality is that whatever camp you're in, the reason that we choose darkness over light tends to be the same things. We love works of darkness, right? We choose it. We want to continue in it, as it says in John 3. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So, maybe for you, there's an aspect where you are not walking in the light because you want to continue in your sin. You want to stay in the darkness. Secondly, the reason that we do this is because Scripture tells us that the God of this world has darkened our eyes. That the enemy is after you. Christian, unbeliever, the enemy is after you. And sometimes, the reason that we walk in darkness is that we're not practicing the presence of God in our life. Right? We're doing stuff in our own strength. We're trying to do it in our own power. We're not relying on him. We're not leaning on him. We're not allowing him to be the center of everything that we seek and pursue. So, there's two different camps. You're either one or the other. As John 3 tells us, those who have the Son have life, and those who don't have the Son don't have life. So you either have Jesus or you don't. There's no, well, I believe in him, but I haven't surrendered to him. There's no, well, I grew up in the church. You either have put your trust in him or not. You either turned on the light when you walked into the room or you haven't. You have either received the Son or you have not. There's no middle grounds. And if your whole life has been surrounded by darkness, there has been no hope for you. Maybe the question you should ask is, have I ever received the Son? Have I ever accepted him into my life? Have the Spirit of God come and dwell within me? And for the second camp, if you're a Christian, what I was being convicted by this week was, yes, I have the clarity of the Son. I have the clarity, and he helps me know things better. But often I go and I read the Bible in my own strength without Jesus being the interpretive lens that I'm reading his word. Or, more often than not, and this is the really tragic one, is that he's not what fills my affections. There's other things. Idolatry has creeped in, other things that have darkened my understanding of who he is, that has made me devalue his goodness. Then I'm not filled with enthusiasm, not filled with the joy, not seeing the beauty in what he is doing. If you feel like you're walking in darkness today, it's very simple. Do you have Jesus? Is Jesus being invited into your trial? Is Jesus being invited into your sin? Is Jesus being invited into your evangelism? Is Jesus being invited into your parenting? Is Jesus being invited into your reading of Scripture? Is everything enveloped in him? As that song, yet not I, but Christ. That he just surrounds you, that he fills you, that everything is, yes, it's Jesus. There is no life apart from him. It's all Jesus. I hope this morning you are encouraged to know that no matter what kind of darkness that you feel like you're living in, walking in, that the Son is more than powerful to dispel the darkness in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for illuminating all that we see in life. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would grow in their love of you. They would grow in their understanding of you. I pray for those who have not yet received you, that they would put their faith in you. They would trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.